Let us pray. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Lord, we come before you with a desire in our heart to honor and to glorify you, to lift up praises to your name, to give thanks for the ways in which you've blessed us, to give back to you that which you've given to us, to offer up our hearts, our minds, everything about us, to give to you even in ways of offering and tithe. And in the midst of all, we pray, Lord, that most importantly, we give ourselves to you. May you be glorified as we now spend time looking at your word, as we take time to meditate on it, to reflect on it, and to take time to even decide, what am I do with this, Lord? Help us, Lord, as we spend time in your word to be enlightened by you. Guide us, we pray. And Lord, I pray that the things that I say and share with this body may be pleasing in your sight. Forgive me of anything that would come from me that is not of you. May it fall on deaf ears. And may the words that you want them to hear be as clear and crystal to their ears that they might know and hear and be refreshed and renewed. We thank you for your spirit in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been spending time sort of moving about in Acts over the last several months, taking a slight moment to reflect on the birth of Christ through Christmas, and then returning back into Acts. And now we, looking through that, come to an interesting story, somewhat maybe difficult. But before I enter into that word, let me share with you a story that I ran across that I think might help us to be prepared for what God would like us to hear today. I spent some time looking for even a hint of where this story may have come from. And needless to say, some of you who I will not spend time reflecting deeply on how many wonderful years you've spent on this earth might say you've actually heard this story before. For those of us who have not spent as much time as you, it may be a story anew. A man was looking for a job. Shouldn't be surprising in this day and age. And he noticed that there was an opening at the local zoo. Now he inquired about the job and discovered that the zoo had a very unusual position that they wanted to be filled. Apparently, their gorilla had died. And until they could get a new one, they needed someone to dress up in a gorilla suit and act like a gorilla for a few days. He was just to sit, eat, and sleep. That's it. That's all he had to do. His identity would be kept a secret, of course. Thanks to a very fine gorilla suit, no one would be the wiser. The zoo offered good pay for this job, so the man decided to do it. He tried on the suit, and sure enough, he looked like a gorilla. So they led him to the cage. He took his position at the back of the cage and pretended to sleep. But after a while, he got tired of sleeping, tired of sitting. So he thought he'd walk around a little bit and jump up and down, try a few gorilla noises. The people who were watching seemed to really like that. He would move or jump around, and they would clap and cheer and throw him peanuts. The man liked peanuts. So he jumped around some more, decided he'd even climb a tree. They seemed to really like that. They even got excited. They threw more peanuts. Playing to the crowd, he grabbed a vine, and he swung from one side of the cage to the other. The people loved it. They threw more peanuts. Wow, this is great, he thought. He swung higher and the crowd grew bigger. He continued to swing on the vine, getting higher and higher, and then all of a sudden the vine broke. Thank you. And he swung up and out of the cage and landed in the lion's cage that was next door. He panicked. Go figure. There was a huge lion not 20 feet away, and it looked very hungry. So the man in the gorilla suit started jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, "Help, help, get me out of here. I'm not really a gorilla. I'm a man in a gorilla suit." The lion quickly pounced on him and held him down and said, "Will you be quiet? You're going to get us both fired." What in the world does that have to do with the Word of God today? Well, I'm glad that some of you have found quite a chuckle out of this story. But here's the big idea. Here's the point. And I want to give this to you now because I want you to hear this very clearly. Your true self matters to God. Your true self matters to God. Now, what does that look like? What does that mean? What are we talking about here? I mean, we're talking about words like integrity, honesty, authenticity. Okay, words that for some of you may go, can you dial it down a little bit? Well, chances are you know what honesty is. Chances are at some point in time you've hopefully given honesty. Hopefully at some point in time you've been one to receive honesty. We talk about things like an honest car salesman or an honest businessman or a politician with integrity and authenticity. What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, here's another thing to think about. See, there is an attribute that God has that nobody else has, amongst other things that he has that we don't have. One of them is omniscience. Now, that's a big word, but I'll make it really simple for you, particularly because this is a word that I've actually shared with our youth group, and I've kind of broke it down for them. Omniscience, that first word, omni, is actually meaning for the word all. Omniscience, in this case, is knowledge. So God is all-knowing. There's nothing that escapes him. His integrity, his character is such that you can't do anything without him knowing that it happens. The man in the gorilla suit was not fooling God and whether or not he was a gorilla, though he might be fooling you. So what does the true self mean in this case? Or why does it matter? And why does it matter to God at that? Well, God knows who you really are. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. And as we look at this, I'm going to bring together to you what it means to understand that God knows your true self and it matters to him. Looking at the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It starts out, "But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds, and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, 'Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God.' When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young man rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, 'Tell me whether you sold the land for so much?' And she said, 'Yes, for so much.' But Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are now at the door, and they will carry you out.' And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things." I cannot possibly tell you that this is an easy passage to speak on. Many of you would think that there are many things I could go with on this. The important part is I want to just take a moment to reflect again on where we are at. Because our message, our story, our chapter actually starts with the word "but," which basically tells us what? Something else happened before this. For us to understand where we're going, we can't possibly just start in the middle. Anybody that tells you a story doesn't start with the word "but," and you go, how did we get there? So if you remember, Pastor Mike has been speaking through the book of Acts. And what has he been sharing? Well, we've been learning about the church, how it's come about, how it's being brought together. We see how Peter and John heal a man from his infirmity. They get arrested. After they get arrested, they're basically told, look, you cannot do what you're doing in the name of Jesus. And they pretty much go, no, sorry, we're still going to do that. But they still release him anyway, and they find themselves back with the rest of the body, with, as it's called, the church. Not a building, but a body of people. And they begin to pray and praise God. Why? Because they have been in a place where they are actually being harassed, told they can't speak in the name of Jesus, and actually persecuted for that. And they rejoice because of it. Why? Because they feel as if they have been given the opportunity to share just a little bit in the tremendous sacrifice Christ made for them. And so they pray, and it turns into what we would probably call a prayer meeting. How amazing it is to see the things that have happened in the last couple of chapters here that revolve around prayer. They pray in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit falls and gives them power. Now they're praying again in regards to the fact that they're in a place where they're being held accountable for speaking and using Christ as a means of which to heal people and share the gospel. And in that time of prayer, the Holy Spirit falls again. And there's this unity in the body. Great unity. I know it may sound strange to say this, but it's important to remind us as a body. Prayer makes a difference. I'm straying from my message for just a minute here, but I want you to understand that great things happened in this early church because of prayer. Test God in that. I know that's not in the Bible, but I can almost guarantee you God is asking, pray, please. Come before me and pray. Join together as a group and pray. Pray in your own time. Come tonight for prayer meeting and join together with a group of people that come here and lift up the prayers of this body, of this community, and see that God doesn't do great things. He will. He can. But that prayer, what does that do? Well, it actually leads to a man saying, I got this field. I got this property. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to give whatever people need. I'm just going to give it. And the story goes such that this man actually has his name sort of changed. Joseph, it's actually nicknamed, that Joseph was nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And so the encouragement that he gives is by giving up what he has and giving the money up and bringing it in and saying, whatever you need it for. He encourages the body. Evidently, because of his character and ability to encourage those that were maybe in need of encouragement. Now is where we pick up our story. Because that but is in reference to what Barnabas did. It's because he decided that Ananias and Sapphira decided, well, we have property. Now, I studied and I looked through this a lot to try and determine some things. Because we have no indications that everyone sold their things. We have no indications that Ananias and Sapphira said, oh, sell your property, give your stuff, get a new name, or be considered like Barnabas. All we know is that they also had property. All we know is that they sold it. The Word of God tells us again, but a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, meaning they both knew, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Your true self matters to God. Displaying an authentic character will bring life because that is where the true self comes out. And in this case, we see in these two people a desire to show one thing and in the other hand, really have this over here. There's so many examples of things that happen in our lives today that we do stuff like this. And I actually was reading from John Ortberg a little bit of a message that he preached on this. And I couldn't help but laugh because he gave some examples of things that just, well, I was glad he was saying, have you ever done this? And I didn't feel like, oh, wow, he's done that too. Wow, so I don't feel so bad after all. Because some of the examples he was giving was really tough. Have you ever driven down the road and seen that somebody wants to get over into your lane or they want to merge over and you just kind of go, oh, they want to merge over here. So you're kind of driving along and you're like, well, I'll just make it look as if I really don't notice that they're there and just drive along. And that way they won't get mad at me, right? Because I just didn't see them, right? Of course, they may or may not decide, well, I don't see them either, and come over into you anyway. You know, sooner or later, somebody has to give. But are you deceiving yourself? Oh, I really don't see them. Really? Chances are they're probably going, I hope they don't see me as I'm pulling over. And there were several other examples that he gave that I didn't put in my message just because I didn't want to just spend time reading his message. This is what you need for now, for today. The true self matters to God. And displaying an authentic character will bring life. But in this case, they did not display an authentic character. And it wasn't just the fact that they held back some money. Interestingly enough, if you look at the way that Peter addresses Ananias, he says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds? Did Ananias tell him, hey, here's some of the money, not all of it. We have no indications of that. It's evident that from the previous verse, it says that they only brought part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And every indication from the previous example is that Barnabas brought everything. Peter, somehow, some way, either by hearsay or by divine knowledge from the Holy Spirit, receives to himself an indication that this is not everything. And then he goes so further on to say, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? You owned the property. You could have sold it for anything. And then once you sold it, did you not get a certain amount for it? And so because of their dishonesty, both Ananias and Sapphira lose their life. This is not my desire to tell you to give money, to sell your property. The purpose behind this time and this place and where I feel God is leading is everything to do with your heart. Where are you today in your heart with who you are? And is the true self that you are, that matters to God, who we see? Because it doesn't matter what you put on here today. I can put on this jacket that I just got and say, wow, I look better today than I did without it. But to be honest with you, it doesn't see what's going on inside of me. As a person speaking here before you with the Word of God and the study and the time that's been spent, I don't want to take this for granted and give you all kinds of flowery information, but rather to take God's Word and really give it its due. And so what I want you to know when you leave this place is that the true self matters to God and that displaying an authentic character brings life to the body that is here. It brings life to this body. You being real as to who you are, through the goods, through the bads, through the stuff you're doing right, through the stuff you're not doing well, brings life to you and to this body. Now, how is that possible? Some of you know the story. Some of you actually lived this story. Our youth group and our pastor went to Baltimore over last summer. And an interesting thing happened. In the early stages, we had talked about this. We've actually shared this, and I'm just going to briefly get into the story again. That in the beginning of stages of doing the youth bump missions trip, our youth and their youth, and it was a boop, boop, boop. They were off in their own little places. And little by little, over time, they started gelling and getting to know each other. The whole purpose, though, behind the story is this. In the initial stages, there were some stories that were told, testimonies that were given of different people. By Thursday, several of our youth got up and shared some stories of their testimonies. Scared to death to share those stories. Some of those stories so difficult that it was difficult for them to even share the fullness of it through the entire story that they gave. And all of a sudden, their stories set off a change in that room. Other students that had given their stories before got up and said, I haven't told you everything. The authenticity of the students that spoke on that day breathed out of the other students a need to be genuine, authentic, real. And it set off a firestorm of, I got so much more I need to say about who I am. At that moment, their true self mattered to God, and it breathed life into that group of people. They gelled and came together even deeper from that point on. By Friday, it was like, we got to go. Man, this is great. I want to stay. This is cool. We're like our own youth group all together, like three of us, three groups. Now we're one. I doubt that on Monday or Tuesday, if you'd have said, by Friday, you guys won't want to leave. And someone would have said, are you kidding? I want to get out now. I'm ready to go. See, that's how incredible truth, how that truth creates such a change in what's going on. So displaying an authentic character brings life to the body, but displaying an authentic character brings life because God knows everything. He knows everything. The sin of Ananias and his wife Sapphira is not about the fact that they gave not enough money. It's not about the fact that they sold property and by giving that money was trying to gain some sort of popularity. But I believe the real sin was that they deceived others. And they wouldn't have even had to worry about it had it not been for the Holy Spirit revealing it to Peter, or somehow Peter becoming aware of it and challenging them on it. In addition, it almost seems as if Peter gives Ananias a chance to resolve the issue. I mean, he asks him, wasn't this your property? Didn't you sell it? What did you get for it? He asks Sapphira later on, did you know about what Ananias did? Is this the amount of money that you got for it? And she doesn't even bat an eye. Oh, yes, that was the amount. Opportunities were given to be genuine and right, but they were lost. And so here we see that the heart that God wants from us is who we are, real, genuine, and honest. Giving to a body is not about giving stuff so that you can get glory. It's so that God may be honored. And when you dishonor God in regards to giving and not really, and saying one thing and holding back the other, well, you're lying to God. So why, what can we learn from this? The important thing is that as a result of the discipline of this couple, there was a fear that struck the body. But I don't believe it was a fear that was like, let's all get out of here.
Or I'm not selling any property anytime soon.
Or anything to that effect. It was more the understanding of the reverence of God and the idea that an authentic character, a true self, matters to Him. All the believers and unbelievers who heard about it felt great fear, which is a consequence of what had happened. But the purpose of this account is this. It's to reveal God's displeasure with sin, particularly dishonesty. Some of you may or may not have done this or know of somebody who did this. But now today in our society, we have a way of which I could go online right now and create any profile of any person I want to. I can be rich and, you know, whatever. Just go on Facebook, I'm Joe Smith, blah, 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 da, 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 so on and so forth. I mean, there's some ways in which that can begin to say, this isn't who this person says, and there's some checks in there. But generally speaking, as the internet became more and more prevalent, people could be whoever they wanted to be. You could instant message somebody and be whatever you wanted to be. But deep inside, God knows who you really are. You can put a front on Facebook or on YouTube or whatever. Well, maybe not YouTube because you'd have to put a video, but Twitter, whatever the case may be, and be somebody you're not. But God knows the truth. God sees the true self, and God's displeasure with this sin, particularly dishonesty, and within His body and church. This church is just starting, and this is the movement that God is taking through after Christ has left. And this moment is a moment to say, don't do this. It's likened to the story we see back in Joshua when Israel is coming into the land, and Achan holds back some of what he wants to keep for himself and damages Israel as they're getting ready to go into Canaan, the promised land. Interestingly enough, we see a parallel that goes on from the Old Testament to the New Testament that relates in a lot of ways. And you can find that in Joshua chapter 7. Second, this narrative, this account, marks the church off as distinct from Israel. Because this type of discipline normally isn't seen a whole lot in Israel. I mean, we do see some indications of it, like I just shared about Achan. Or maybe we see a situation where don't touch the ark. Even if it's going to fall, let it fall. Because we see an account where somebody tries to catch it and touches it, and it's so holy that they can't even touch it. And they instantly die. But not in this particular case. This is the first time we've kind of seen. Somebody said something, it was a deceit, instant. The word church is used for the first time here in Acts. It refers to that being the body, the universal church, a local congregation. Finally, it indicates God has a work for this group of people, a great work to do. The true self matters to God because there could be, in this case, for us too, a great work that is to be done in this place that has been started, that many of you have been a part of for many years. Give honestly of your time, of your possessions, of what you have. This isn't a message about tithing. This is a message about authenticity and real life people before God. Because what you do here amongst us, we trust is who you are. But you can't deceive God. You can't surprise Him. He knows you. He knows your heart. And so I close with this. Remember that the true self does matter to God. And that you have the opportunity to display an authentic character, because that brings life to you and to the body before our God. Let's pray. Father, this time in your story of this church is difficult for us. It seems almost out of place that so much good is happening through prayer and through healings and such. And yet, it's necessary to show just how great, Lord, your body coming together in true authenticity, in truth, in true self, is important. Lord, we pray that as we continue to come together, that we reveal the true self of who we are to one another, that it might bring life to our body. We pray, Lord God, that we would bring the true self of who we are before you, because you know everything. There's nothing we can hide. Help us, Lord. May we bear before you who we are. May we bring before you that which is from us, and not hide anything, because, Lord, you already know it. Guide us and direct us. Help us, Lord, we pray. We are in desperate need of you. So form us and shape us in a way that brings forth the great diamond that you know that we are, even if it means that we must be shaped and formed, sort of squeezed to get forth the truth. We pray this now in Jesus' name.